Amen. Matthew chapter 4, look at verses 1 through 11. And I don't think I'm going to get through all the verses, but I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and which spirit is leading you. The text reads, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And he went and went the tempter, and when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, All these things I will give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him.
Amen.
And precious Lord, we just thank you for the word of God, and we thank you for the mouth of God, which is the Bible.
Amen.
Canonized, complete in its totality. We thank you, Father God, for giving it to us as a guide, as biblical instructions before leaving earth. And we thank you, Father God, that you've given us a desire to want to hear, not only read, but want to hear it preached so we can understand it and make application to our lives so we can find out if we're being led by the right spirit. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We look at a text like this today, and we see Jesus being led by the Spirit, meaning Jesus was being led by the Holy Spirit. Okay, Jesus was under the power of that Spirit, and all of us who say we're Christians, who say we've been born again, we are being led by a spirit too. Somebody say, well, Pastor, yeah, you've been led by a spirit. Bible says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But the problem that many of us face in today's world, with so many churches and so many denominations and so many folks believing this or believing that, I think it's important. I think it's important that we know that we're riding or being led or being guided by the right spirit.
Amen.
By the right spirit. Somebody said, well, Pastor, what do you mean? There's a lot of spirits. There's a lot of spirits. There's a lot of gods. Mm-hmm. Now, I hear people say, well, you know, I believe in God. Then, you know my standard answer. Which God?
Amen.
Does he have a son named Jesus?
Amen.
who came in the form of a baby who was born of a virgin and lived 33 and a half years and died on Calvary's cross and was buried and on the third day rose. Is that the God you believe?
Amen.
You'd be surprised. I was studying this lesson and one of the subjects came up about how many churches, what percentage of churches really actually believe in the virgin birth. And this survey went out and came back, said 19% of Lutherans don't believe in the virgin birth. 34% of Baptist churches don't believe in the virgin birth. 44% of the Episcopalian churches don't believe in the virgin birth. And the number is the same for the Presbyterian, but it's highest in the Methodist church. 60% of Methodist believers or Methodist preachers don't believe in the virgin birth. Let me tell you something, folks. It's important that we understand the Spirit of God if we say we're being led by the Spirit of God. Because when God saves us, He fills us with the Spirit. I think about Ezekiel 36, and it talks about this, what happens to us when we are saved. And you have to share this. If you're here today and you're saved, you have this has to resonate with you when I read a verse like this. It says in Ezekiel 36 and 25, it says, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and shall clean, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you." Now watch verse 26. "And a new heart will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Now watch verse 27. "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." When God fills us with His Spirit, I lost my mic. I might have lost my mic. It just turned off. When God fills you with His Spirit, you're not going to do what you want to do anymore.
Amen.
You're just not going to do what you once did when you have God's Spirit residing in you. I think about Zacchaeus, and we know the story of Zacchaeus. God went to his house and he said, "Zacchaeus, today I must abide with you." And immediately Zacchaeus' life changed. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, and the Corinthians was trying to do what they wanted to do, and at the same time called themselves believers. Paul wrote to them and said this in 1 Corinthians 6:19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" How about that?
Amen.
See, we don't like that. We don't like when the Holy Spirit, if you had a Holy Spirit, then He's going to put conditions on you. He's going to put restraints on you. He said, "You are not your own, for you were bought with a price." And what was the price? Jesus shed blood on Calvary. That was the price. And He says, "Therefore, glorify God in your spirit, which are God's." Paul would later write in 1 Corinthians 10:31. He says, "And all that you eat, drink, and do, or whatsoever you do," how are we supposed to do it? "To the glory of God." So as spirit-filled believers, all that we do to give God glory. So it's not, we wouldn't be really, really hard to determine whether or not we have the right spirit in us, because the right spirit is going to cause us to give God glory in all that we do. And if there's things we're doing in our life that would not give God glory, then the Spirit going to call us out.
Amen.
The Spirit's going to call us out. The Spirit's job is to direct us and to guide us. The Spirit's job is to enlighten us and then give us understanding of His Word. And people say, well, I don't understand the Bible. Well, there's a lot I don't understand about the Bible either. But there's not anything in the Bible I don't understand that if I call on the Spirit of God to give me enlightenment on that subject, He will do that.
Amen.
The Spirit's job is to give us understanding. The Spirit's job is to influence our desires. So once we've had old desires, when we come to the Lord, we get new desires. Somebody said, well, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's exactly what it says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man had the Spirit of God, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, big word, behold, all things have become new. What do you mean? All things now are under the control of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
All things are under the control of the Spirit of God. Pastor, where you get all this stuff at? There's a lot of spirits in the world, people. There's a lot of spirits in the world. Let me share some of these spirits. And I wanted to get through almost a lot of this verse, text. But once I started looking at these different spirits, I got stuck. And y'all know how I get stuck.
Amen.
There's a verse of the Bible in Luke 4:33. Jesus was at a church. And he's preaching. I'm going to turn there, 4:33, Luke. It's an interesting verse. It says that he's at the church and he's preaching. It says, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice saying, let us alone. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. This unclean demon know probably a whole lot more than the average born again believer.
Amen.
He knew what Jesus' purpose was. He knew who Jesus was. He recognized him.
Amen.
He recognized him. And where was this unclean demon at? Sitting in church.
Amen.
Sitting in church. And probably nothing was being said until Jesus showed up.
Uh-huh.
And when Jesus showed up, he acted out.
Uh-huh.
He acted out.
Amen.
He had a spirit of an unclean devil. And folks say, well, we don't believe in the devil. Well, the Bible does.
Amen.
And then the Bible talks about the devil quite a bit. Matter of fact, our verse started off with Jesus being led in the spirit to do battle with the devil. How about the spirit of procrastination? How about the spirit of procrastination? Procrastinating, putting things off. Oh, I'm going to get right with the Lord. Oh, I'm going to get myself together. Oh, I'm going to change. Oh, I'm going to start being faithful. Oh, I'm going to give more to the church, more of my time, more of my resources. You hear folks like that all the time. You know, I look at that verse in Acts 16:16. Remember, Paul was walking. He had just dealt with Lydia and at the women all at the river and saved them all, built a church there. And this woman in Acts 16, this woman seen Paul and started crying out. We know we say she had this spirit of divination. Soothsaying, the dreamer, foretelling, always predicting things. You ever run into people like that? Always predicting things. God gonna do this and God gonna do that and foretelling and all that. That's a spirit. Always talking about what God is gonna do, but God's not done anything. You know, we call them in the Old Testament false prophets.
Amen.
They telling you what God's gonna do, but God's not doing anything. And they tell you to send you all your money, and if you send me all your money, and there's a whole lot of folks flat broke.
Uh-huh. Amen.
And a lot of churches have struggled with these preachers who have the spirit of divination. And they tell you to send your money. And if you send your money, you're going to be blessed and you're going to be healthy. And we know that's not true.
Amen.
We know that's not true. Because we burying folks here. And if there was some folks running around here talking about they had the gift of healing and touching folks, listen, folks. Okay? We probably wouldn't have to do a funeral on Thursday.
Amen.
Teddy wouldn't have had to go all the way up to D.C. or wherever she was at for all them years with bone marrow. This woman was saying that Paul was a man of God. Devils are right sometimes. She had a spirit of divination. Be careful with that one. Here's one. Common, I believe, not only in the church, but definitely in the world. Paul in Romans 8:15, Paul's talking to these folks and he's trying to convince them that they don't have to live under all this persecution, under all this oppression, and under all this, because that's Satan. Mm-hmm. I talk to folks all the time and it's almost like they want to go back into slavery. They want to be dominated. And that's fine if it's the Lord doing it.
Amen.
But Paul's right into the Romans, to the church in Rome in Romans 8:15, and he's had to remind his church. He has to remind the church. And some of you in here today, some of us in here today, still under bondage. Think about it. Think about what holds you. What's on your mind right now? What are you thinking about right now? Problems we have, issues we have, you know, and if we concentrate solely on those issues and take our eyes off God, those issues will have us bound. Mm-hmm. They'll have us bound. Could be our kids, could be our spouses, could be our jobs, could be whatever. Paul says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. How could Paul say that? What's man's greatest fear? Dying. That's man's greatest fear. Dying. Because so it's unknown about it. And we're scared. But if we looked at 1 Corinthians 15, we know that Jesus came and died for us and rose again. Why? So that we wouldn't have to fear death. There's no way the believer should fear death.
Amen.
There's no way that believers should fear death. I hear people say all the time, well, you know what? You know, this person's doing this and they're going through this. Listen, as a saved person, we have nothing to fear.
Amen.
Nothing to fear. Now, thank God we only have to do it once.
Uh-huh. Amen.
But Jesus came and took our place. The Bible says he took the sting out of death. He adopted us into his family. And for those of us who know the Lord, it only gets better.
Yeah.
It only gets better after this. God forbid anybody here is worried about it. Worried to death. Oh, I'm scared to death. I'm going to die. I'm going to stay here in this sin sick world. I just want to stay here as race relationship deteriorating in this country. I want to stay here. Folks, heroin, academic, drugs, alcohol, murders, just murders everywhere. There's this young girl getting murdered yesterday and a young boy getting murdered over here on the east side, right around the corner. The world is sin sick and it's fallen. And God has came and died for the believers so we don't have to live in this mess. Paul writing to the Roman church says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage. There's a warning about that. Again, to fear. But you have received a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We've been adopted into God's family. And you know what? God's people don't die and go to hell.
Amen.
God's people don't die and go to hell. God's people die and go to heaven.
Amen.
God's people die and go to heaven. Here's another spirit people are being led by. This one I think is probably more significant than any of them. When I look at the church and I look at the folks, it seems like nobody having any energy. We just so tired. We are so weary and life has just wore us out. We got so much going on. We can't do nothing for God. I mean, it's just the thought of doing something for God. Oh, my schedule, my time. I got this going on, this going on. Paul writes this. He said, God have not given them the spirit of slumber. How about that? Some folks in here right now have a hard time keeping their eyes open. Seriously. They're dozing off. You got the spirit of slumber. Tired. Snoozing. You know how many life to a lot of people are just hitting the snooze alarm. I mean, every time it go off, every time God say, I need you to do something. I need you to be great. I need you to be better. I need you to do more. And we hit the snooze alarm. Why? Why? I said this to Mary, just coming in. You know what? Let me tell you something, folks. And I think this is the biggest problem we have. We try to do God's work with our own strength.
Amen.
Let me say that again. We try to do God's work with our own strength. And when our strength run out, we done. You can't do God's work with your own strength. Mm-hmm. You got to say, God, give me the strength to be great for you. Okay? That'll be a prayer. God, I need to do more for you. And there's not a person in here can think I'm doing enough. Not one.
Amen.
Not one. Hard sitting through a 50-minute sermon. A lot of preachers know that. That's why they beat them drums. They beat them drums trying to keep their people woke. They beat the drums. Get paid an organ player. They pay all their money. Yeah, now I'm going to tell y'all something. And I say this, y'all know, God's not called us to take up offerings to pay unsaved musicians.
Amen.
Just to keep the church focused and energetic. Because as soon as the preaching starts, the church goes to sleep.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
And the average preacher going to preach 20 minutes.
That's right.
Because they know their people can't handle it. They know they've been out all night and drinking and whatever. They know they can't handle it, so they entertain them for 45 minutes, and then at 20 after 12 or quarter to 1, then they'll start preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, God's people can't have a spirit of slumber. Ask God for energy.
Amen.
God, give me energy. Because some of you can do more. Even on some bad legs and some bad feet, well, I can still do more. And then, you know, when you do it on bad feet, and when you do it on bad ankles, and when you do it when your back hurt, and when you do it when your hands hurt, and you do it when you got a headache, you know what? You can't take credit for it. Because you'll say, you know what? If it wasn't for the Lord, I know I couldn't have done that. That had to be the Lord working in my life. See? See, if you're doing it on your strength, you're going to take the credit for it. If you're doing it on your strength, on your time, when you got the time, when you got the energy, then you're going to take the credit for it. But when God calls you to do something, he'll give you the strength to do it. And he'll say, I dare you to take credit for it. See, all glory belong to me. I'm going to call you to do something that you know you couldn't do without me. See, a lot of folks are only doing what they can do. That's not faith. They're only doing what they can do on their own strength. Let's keep going. How about this one? Let me give you this verse real quick. Because we don't like to test things. Spiritual things, we won't test. Okay? We'll test drive our car and go buy a new car. See some new cars out there. We done went to Auto World. And we done looked up all the specs on it. We done got the Fox Report. What's that called? The Carfax. We got the Carfax. We know how many miles a gallon it get. We know how many recalls is on it. We done tested this thing all the way out before we even go to the dealership. We go get a phone. We check out all the phones. You know, Galaxy 7, 8, 8 plus, 8 minus, Galaxy Note. We done checked all the specs. We know large screen, small screen. Some of y'all wouldn't dare go to a hairdresser without it. Only one person do my hair. If something happened to her, you hit. Now you gotta go around and talk to all your girlfriends. Well, how she do? What she do? How she do? Because that's something important to you. You go to a restaurant, you go one time, they don't serve you right. You ain't going back, and you're gonna tell everybody. I know what I'm talking about. Because I do it. Amen. But when it comes to the most important thing, the spirit that's in you, have you tested it?
Amen.
Have you tested it? Bible says in 1 John 4:1, he said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." Let me tell you something now.
Amen.
You better make sure you got the right spirit.
Amen.
Before you start running out here talking about I'm of God. Oh, yeah. I'm a man of God. Because see, Satan going to test you. Okay?
Amen.
Satan going to test you. And you can not have the right spirit.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you what I mean. David, a man after God's own heart, was tested. David was tested. And his spirit failed him. The spirit that was in him failed him. And David knew it. And David wrote in Psalms 51. He said to the Lord, he said, "Lord, this spirit that I had failed me." Okay? And all of our spirits are going to fail us at times. Okay? But we ought to do like David. Many of us need to do, right now, we need to do like David. Now, I'm not going to read all of Psalms 51 because verse 10 is just adequate. Okay? But David knew when he fell, with Bathsheba, when he looked and seen what was going on, he knew he had a problem.
Yeah.
Before I even read that story about Bathsheba, about David's new spirit. Watch this now. You know how David had the wrong spirit. Here's David. In 2 Samuel 11, verses 2 through 4. This is interesting. And I, when I look at scripture sometimes, I look at it and I see things that I haven't seen before. And I know I've read this many times, and I didn't see some of this stuff. And I hope you guys see it for the first time, because Satan's going to test all of you.
Uh-huh.
The very fact that you came to church today, you're going to be tested. I remember when my father wasn't saved, and my brother sitting here, and after church, my brother would go to my father's house, and my father wasn't saved. And my brother would say, "Man, my spirit is just different around him." You know, because he knew you came from church, he wasn't unsaved. And again, your battle was not with flesh and blood, but my father would say some stuff. Unsaved folks say stuff. You, anybody in here have to deal with unsaved folks after church?
Amen.
Oh, Lord have mercy. They'll take that whole, all that joy and spirit out of you.
Amen.
I know that's true.
Oh, yeah.
Now here's David. Here's David in 2 Samuel 11. It said, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem." Okay, watch this. "And it came to pass in evening tide that David arose off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now, honestly, for the king, so far so good. But verse 3 is the problem. And the problem was in David's spirit. David's spirit wasn't right. What's the answer? And David sent and inquired after the woman. Most of us men in here, we're single, and we see a woman, and we may, what's up with her?
Uh-huh.
This is so long for me. Thank you, Jake. That came out smooth. All right. Let me start over. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, one that he trusted, one that he sent to inquire about her. Say with me. Is not this Bathsheba? Now this is the answer he's getting back from the person he sent to inquire about her. Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah, the Hittite? Question mark. Now, if David would have had a right spirit, what should his response had been? Oh, okay. Talk to you later. And that ain't what David did, because, see, David's spirit wasn't right. Now I'm going somewhere, because I'm going to go right back to Psalm 51. And David sent messengers. Now, wait a minute now. You already thought, this is Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. Basically, the wife of one of your faithful men. Okay? Matter of fact, the wife of one of the most faithful men that's in your army. A proselyte Jew, one that wasn't born a Jew, that loved the Jewish faith so much, wanted to become a Jew and become a warrior and willing to go on the front line of your army. And David sent messengers and took her. And she came unto him. She had no choice. He's the king. He's the king. Y'all gotta understand. He's the king. And David only had to answer to God. He had to answer to man. But his spirit wasn't right. And he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sinned and told David and said, I am with child. Psalm 51. Stay with me. Wrong spirit. Here's David, verse 10. And I know I can go back further. But David knew he had a bad spirit. And he said, Lord, he said, create in me a clean heart. And that word create, he's equating God to the creator of the world. He said, God, I'm coming to you because I know you created the heavens and the earth. The sea, you created everything. So I know you can do this. So he said, God, do this for me. Create in me a clean heart. A heart purified from filthiness. A heart purified from lust and evil thoughts and wickedness and gossip. Created me a clean heart. Oh God. That's a plead. That's a begging. Then this is the good part here. And renew a right spirit within me. So if you take this wrong one out and renew in me a right spirit, meaning a spirit right with you. Amen. A spirit that you can use. And I'm just so tempted to keep going because it just explains what David was going to do. And we know after David had this situation, there was no more mention of David in the Bible being an adulterous man.
Uh-huh.
No more.
Amen.
That right spirit took control. So you got to make sure we have the right spirit. You got the right spirit. How do you know? Got to be tested. Got to be tested. Remember Demas? D Demas' spirit was tested. And the Bible said Demas went back. Paul said Demas went back. Demas has forsaken me. Left me alone. Left me alone. Forsaken me. Left me alone. Hear about folks in marriage and husband just forsaken. Don't send no money back. Don't send no alimony payments. Nothing. Just leave them. That's what happened when Demas' faith was tested. Bible say he forsake Paul and went back. And went back. Peter was tested. All God's great men and women of faith have been tested. Tested. And let me tell you something, you're not exempt. And many of you right now, myself included, being tested. Being tested. Being tried. Being tried. How you holding up? How you hold up? How about this spirit? I get caught up on these spirits. Because you need to know. Paul says, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is coming to the in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Let me tell you something. I read all those numbers, different churches. You know, there's a whole lot of folks with the spirit of the Antichrist.
Amen.
You know what the spirit of the Antichrist means? God said you just don't believe it. I'm Antichrist. They'll say, well, God didn't die on the cross. Or God wasn't raised on the third day. You know there's a lot of preachers out there that will not preach on the resurrection. You know why? That's a tough subject. There's a lot of folks who won't preach on the crucifixion. But if Christ did not come as a man, how could he do what he did?
Amen.
Think about that. If he didn't come as a man, how could he die for our sins? And you know, the devil want to try to convince you of that. Paul, John writing again, not only the spirit of Antichrist, but the spirit of error. You read all these different spirits in the Bible. He says in 1 John 4 and 6, same verses. He said, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that knoweth God heareth us. Okay?
Amen.
Let me say that again. He that knoweth God heareth us. See, folks that know God want to hear God's word.
Amen. Amen.
Folks that know God want to hear God's word.
Amen.
He that is not of God heareth not us. Folks that don't believe don't want to hear truth. Folks that do believe only want to hear truth.
Amen.
Hereby we know we, Paul, John's right, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Y'all didn't know all these spirits was in the Bible, did you? There's a spirit of error in the Bible. And that's mean when the word of God tells you something, you say that's wrong. I don't like it. It's going to make me uncomfortable if I have to do it. Paul was a preacher of truth. Now for the Wednesday night crowd, y'all just bear with me because this verse pops up all the time with me because it's so dear to me. 1 Corinthians 2. Here's Paul. Paul says, and brethren, when I came to you, it came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Paul didn't care about all that stuff. Semantics and throwing his voice and singing through the sermon and all that stuff. Whooping and hooping and all that. Paul, hey, I didn't put no time in that.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
I didn't put no time in entertaining folks.
That's right.
Paul said, For I determined, I had a made up mind. Okay? I was not going to be pulled off in the other stuff. Okay?
That's right. Amen.
I wasn't trying to be the councilman and trying to run for office over here and on the school board and all that. Paul said, I ain't had time for all that.
Amen.
Okay? Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, I'm not saying Christians can't be in political offices. That's a good thing. But when God called a man to be a pastor, that's all consuming.
Amen.
Okay? He said, I'm determined not to know anything among you, say Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. Not anybody else. Amen. Okay? And Paul said, him crucified. The Gnostics and the Gnosticism was going on in these days. And they would say, well, Jesus didn't die on the cross. Paul said, well, him crucified.
Amen.
He died on the cross.
Amen.
Look at verse 3. He says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Weakness in body. Fear of saying the wrong thing. And in much trembling. Because Paul was known to take a rock. Yes. Paul was known to be stoned and being put out of town. So his time was limited. He didn't have a whole lot of time. Somebody say wherever Paul went, there was either revival or riot.
Amen.
But watch this now. Now stay with me. Verse number 4. In my speech, in my preaching, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. How about that? Cute little stuff. Man's what man can think up. And man's wisdom is not God's wisdom.
Amen.
Okay? But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul would tell the church of Thessalonians, he said, I didn't come to you in word only. Verse number 5, chapter 1. But in power. The word of God has power. And this is what we talk about in Sunday school. The word of God is designed to convict you. And through that conviction, you're going to get right with the Lord.
Amen.
And if the word of God don't convict you, you're not going to get right with the Lord. And you're going to stay right with the devil.
Amen.
But the word of God is designed to confront you and challenge you. And it confronts and challenges the preacher first. That's what the word of God is designed to do. We sit back and we don't want to be confronted. Why? Because we're happy in our mess. We're happy in our sin. And we don't want to come out of it. And Satan has a grip on us. That's what Paul said. And then give you the spirit of bondage. The word of God is designed to free you. And we don't want to be free. Because we still like doing stuff that we know don't give God glory.
Amen.
And we don't want to be free from that. Because we like it. We like going there. We like these people. Mm-hmm. And they really, and you came to them and said, you know what, I'm a born again believer. God has saved me and changed me. I'm a new person created in Christ Jesus. And they're going to kick you out of the whatever club it is. We don't want your kind here. And folks don't like being around saints. They got to excuse me. I don't mean to cuss around you. I'm sorry, Pastor. I don't mean to cuss around you. Well, you know, you're hearing that a lot. You're probably around the wrong people.
Amen.
And being around cussing folks and swearing folks and drinking folks and lying folks don't make you uncomfortable, then you probably have the spirit of error, spirit of the Antichrist. You like being around the devil's people more than you like being around God's people. You probably have the spirit of the Antichrist.
Amen.
Let me keep going. He says, in my speech, in my preaching, what with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the power of the Spirit and of the power. Remember I tell you all the story of John Wesley? I know, y'all heard me say it all a lot. It just comes up a lot. John Wesley was a preacher of righteousness. And folks hated him. And every time John Wesley walked down the street, they throw rocks at John Wesley. They throw rocks at him. They would zip by his head. And they would hit him on the leg sometime or hit him on the back. And then he went like a couple weeks. He went a couple weeks and nobody threw rocks at him. And John Wesley fell to his knees and prayed to God. Because he thought he was out of God's will. He said, God, if I'm out of your will, let me know. Put me back in your will. Renew a right spirit in me. And John Wesley got up from his prayer and started walking on his feet, and a rock zipped by his head, and he praised the Lord. He said, thank you, Lord. He said, thank you, Lord. See, we don't like rocks. See, rocks is good for a Christian. Get some rocks thrown at you every once in a while. Keep you on the straight and narrow. And if ain't nobody throwing rocks at you, it's probably because you ain't saying nothing that offends them, or your life doesn't offend people. And that's the whole Christianity today. We want to have a life that don't offend nobody. We don't want to offend nobody. Let me tell you something, folks. If you're a child of God, if you're a man of God, if you're a woman of God, then it offends you that people are going to tell you that you need to accept same-sex marriage, or you need to go to a class teaching transgendering, and you need to accept all this stuff. Uh-huh. And then if you don't, they call you a bigot. Uh-huh. Or whatever, something horrible, because you don't accept their way of life. You a bigot. You don't believe in a man having a relationship with a 10-year-old. Uh-huh. And that's where it's going, folks.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's where it's going in the churches. We're rolling down right down the river. I guarantee you won't hear a mega church stand and say that any of that is wrong. Y'all can sit here and you can watch T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteen and Creflo. They will never stand up and say same-sex marriage is wrong or LGBT. They ain't saying nothing.
Amen.
Silent.
Yep.
Because it's all about the dollar.
That's right. Amen.
And this is what Paul is saying here. So I ain't getting enticing words of man's wisdom. Uh-huh. I don't care how you feel about it. My job is to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Instant, be instant in season and out of season. Why, Paul? Why was you so dogmatic that you willing to get your head cut off?
Uh-huh.
Ain't no preachers in America getting their heads cut off.
Nope. Amen.
They ain't suffering at all.
Mm-hmm.
Why? They ain't saying nothing.
Amen.
Their message don't offend people. Paul says this. This is why I preach. Paul said, this is why I don't preach with enticing words. This is why I don't do it. He says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all got loved ones, y'all got folks, and y'all so careful around them. They're so careful around them.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you something. You hear these messages, and you open up that Bible, and you give it to them, because you don't know how it's going to come back.
Amen.
You don't know how it's going to come back. You don't know how God's going to work with them. They may rebel in front of you and say, Mama, I don't want to hear that. Or Uncle, I don't want to hear that. Or Granddad, I don't want to hear that. But let me tell you something. You don't know. When they leave your presence, they may say, you know what? If that person is wrong, right, and I'm wrong, I got problems.
Yeah.
Okay? I got problems. So we so worried about our loved ones. Oh, they doing well. They doing well. They got a good job. And they got a good car. They got a good... Just let me tell you something. If they don't have a good God. Okay? If they don't have a good God. Okay? Like Sylvia said this morning, a lot of rich folks are going to be in hell. Poor folks too. This is important. Let me read it one more time. Here's why Paul got his head cut off. How many of you guys know? And I say this all the time. The author of the book. Okay? The author of the book was crucified. Okay? The author of the book was crucified. And the author of the book wrote somewhere, I don't have the text in front of me, I can have it next week. And you killed all the prophets. So every prophet, somebody need to get Fox's Book of Martyrs. Every prophet that declared that God was in full control was killed.
Amen.
Okay? Every prophet. Killed all the prophets. That's what Jesus said. You killed all the prophets.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Now, every apostle that followed Christ was killed. Save John the Baptist. Save John. But it wasn't like they didn't try.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they didn't send them to the island of Patmos. That wasn't like going on a cruise. Okay, the island of Patmos was a barbaric island with man-eating barbarians on it. John was supposed to die on the island of Patmos. But we know that on the Lord's day, John was in the spirit. Okay? But my point is, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Peter, Andrew, Philip, all of them got killed preaching this book.
Amen.
Okay? And you know what? There are folks out here making millions preaching this book. That's got to be to the person who has the Spirit of God in them. That has to be a problem. How are you making that much money preaching what the author of it died?
Amen.
And see, I won't ever understand that. And you go to the average church business meeting, it's all about the pastor's salary, pastor's house allowance, pastor's insurance, pastor's credit card, pastor's gas card, pastor's allowance, pastor needs some new robe, pastor needs some new shoes. I ain't shutting it. Paul says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. The power of God. Listen. Beloved. That's you guys. Not every spirit. Believe not every spirit. But try the spirits. Try the spirits. Whether they are of God. Why, John? This is why John is down on the island of Patmos. He had to come back and write this. Okay? Why, John? Why should we not believe every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God? Why? Because many of you folks in here turn on anything. You don't get it. You have no discernment at all when it comes to listening to preaching. Oh, it sounds good. And then I sit here and tell somebody the other day, I said, listen, you know what Creflo Dollar said? Creflo Dollar had the audacity to say that Jesus Christ was the first born again sinner. Now, listen, folks. Listen now. You need to have nothing to do with that. That's a false prophet.
Amen.
Jesus was not a born again sinner. He was without sin. He didn't have to have nobody die for him.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And we listen to these things, and here's what John is saying. He says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Why? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Many.
Amen.
Many, not a few. Jesus said in Matthew 7, there's a narrow road that leads to heaven. And few be to find it. And he said, the road that leads to hell, he said, is many be on that one. Oh, God. This is important. I told y'all last week after I hit that deer going 70, I'm going to preach like there's no tomorrow. I may hit one on the way home tonight.
Amen.
And take me home. Okay? Got to preach it like a dead man, a dying man preaching to dying folks. Because you folks in here are dying.
Amen.
Y'all don't worry about doors. Door work is done.
Uh-huh.
The book is closed on her.
Come on now.
We got to die.
Uh-huh.
We got to do what she did. We got to do what she did. And it takes guts to die. It takes strength to die. Some of y'all sit here now. I just want to die in my sleep. No, you don't. You want to die woke. And you pray that you get what Doris got. An opportunity to work some things out with God. You may not get it.
Amen.
I just want to die peacefully. Nobody dies peacefully. Nobody dies peacefully. I'm sitting here. You can look at them. They may look peaceful. But if they die without the Lord, they ain't die peacefully.
Amen.
When you die in your sins, you ain't dying peacefully. But when the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes, torment. Let's get so. It is what it is. Well, I can give you all these spirits. I'm going to make sure I ain't leave none out. Because your spirit is in here. Okay? Left one out. I left one spirit out. Probably didn't, but it's the spirit of the world. And that's why you get the combination worldly church. Because you know what happens? The world comes into your church. And the world comes into your church with its worldliness and its world's rules and its world's dress and its world's language and its world's behavior. And you know what? We so desperate. Oh, we just need some folks. We don't care where they come from. We just need this full up in here. Let me tell you something, folks. You can't do ministry without Jesus.
Amen.
All right. Now, we have not. 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have not. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. Know why you didn't receive it? Because you were born with it. Okay? You was born with the spirit of the world. But what do you need to do? You need to be born again. So what Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians 2:12, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. When you get the spirit of God in you, you know what God wants you to do. And then he will give you the power to do it.
Yeah.
What's the spirit of the world, Pastor? Desire of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. Pride of life. Outward stuff. Outward stuff. Things we could taste. Things we could touch. Things we could smell. Those are the flesh. The flesh, all the flesh want to do is be pleased. Let's say, eat, drink, and be merry. Eat, drink, and be merry. Because they don't believe in God. Eat, drink, and be merry. Because tomorrow we die. So we might as well live it up. Who has the most toys wins. Okay? The more stuff you got, the faith people, the word of faith people say the more stuff you got means the stronger your relationship is with God. Tell the rich fool that. Tell the rich fool that. He has so much stuff. I mean, the ground of a certain misman brought forth plentifully. He had a lot of stuff. And some of us in here now, we working for a lot of stuff. But we got to keep up with the Joneses. And he thought within himself. That's a problem. When you got the spirit of the world in you, and you thinking within yourself, he said, what should I do? Flesh, what should I do? Well, here's what the flesh say. Because I have no room to bestow my fruit. And he said, I will do, this is what I will do. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater. And there will, I'll bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's the flesh. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Like I said before, Blanche will be going through all your stuff at the Fish and Mariner house. Nice stuff. And this person had a lot of stuff, you know. Precious Lord, we thank you. We thank you like David. David said, Lord, renew a right spirit in me. I don't know what this spirit, I don't know what your spirit is. I don't know what spirit is working in you guys. I pray And I fast that the spirit of holiness and the spirit of God would be in all you. And all those that would call themselves Christian, that God would give them the gift of discernment.